Breakfast puppies?
This podcast contains adult language and content and is meant for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
We're all set to begin, so let's dive right in to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your cars. But mostly it's about dive bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Hey, NPC, what are you drinking?
Ooh.
This is Stormbreaker Brewing's What We Brew in the Shadows, New Zealand style pilsner.
Oh, I see what they did there.
It's delicious.
You know what, Nathaniel?
Yeah.
I bet that beer tastes better since you know nobody fucked it first.
Yeah. Well done. Well done. You get an XP.
Thank you.
It is a lager with some bite, hop bite, that is. Nelson Sauvin, Southern Cross, and Y-E-T hops shine through in this tropical Y-E-T. Citrus and stone fruit expression. Premium German malts provide a smooth foundation for easygoing drinkability. 4.9% alcohol by volume, 28 IBUs.
I like this one a lot.
28's pretty high for a pilsner.
Yeah, no, but despite having the hops in there, it still tastes like a pilsner should taste, yeah. Even though it's got a little bit of hops in there.
Oh, that's a good palate cleanser.
I think Pine Sol would have been a good palate cleanser compared to the last thing that we just drank. But I will say, as a notorious pilsner hater, but this is might be the third pilsner I've ever had in my entire life that I have enjoyed. It's very good. It wish it was a little bit colder, but that's just me. Mm-hmm. But it is a tasty, tasty pilsner. And I will give my very few recommendations of drink this pilsner.
So before we met today, I went down to my local store, Sammo's, and browsed their selection of, you know, refrigerated beers. And these are the three I found that were not Budweiser, mm-hmm. And were not IPAs.
Damn.
Well, this is one of the three that I found. There's two others as well.
You know, Doctor, I happen to enjoy this beer so much, and I think we should keep it in mind for a super secret project that you and I will be discussing later.
I like super secret projects that we discuss later.
And unlike the last super secret project, this will not terrorize everyone.
Speaking of terrorizing everyone, you're listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars! Recorded in Portland, Oregon. I'm NPC.
I'm just Jacob.
I'm just vaccinated.
I'm Poppy Beaujolais.
This is our second episode of a run that we're doing where we try and do some shorter episodes. Hopefully fill the feed with more stuff. So hopefully this works out. Let us know what you think.
What are we talking about tonight, NPC?
We are talking about funky, weird dice.
Funky.
What'd you call me?
I called you a funky, weird die.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So like a D8?
Okay. Well, let's start from the bottom here.
Like a D72?
We're specifically talking about dice that you would be using in a tabletop game. Now, if you're listening to this and are not familiar with a lot of the tabletop games that we've been talking about through the 50 plus episodes that we've already done so far, and you're not quite up to date on that yet, as a quick explanation, there are dice beyond those with just the six sides that you see in most board games like Parker Brothers and whatnot. Yeah, it's crazy. And they have four sides that look like little pyramids. They're, you know, home defense systems.
Oh, yeah.
Worse than Legos to step on.
Caltrops.
Caltrops, yeah.
Yeah.
There's eight-sided dice, as Xander just said. There are 12-sided dice, 10-sided dice, weird things that you might be mystified by were you to look in a gamer's gaming drawer.
D12s, the best dice ever that does not get any love.
I love D12s. They're great.
I guess get them confused with D20s far too often.
Everybody loves the D20. The D20, I think today is probably the most well-known die.
Most gaming. Iconic, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
After a D6, yep.
But there's so many more dice out there now that have, that are just very different than that standard spread of six dice.
You have a giant bag of dice next to you that are of very weird sizes and shapes.
Oh, we'll get to this in a minute. So, Jacob, what did you have in mind when you put this on the topic list?
Well, when you and I were talking about it, you know, the thing that came to mind was I have had the privilege of playing many Dungeon Crawl classic games with you. And I have had inflicted upon me several of the Star Wars games that use oddball dice that don't have numbers and just have goddamn symbols. But primarily the Dungeon Crawl Classics weird dice, the D24, the D, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm old enough where I remember when the D100 was the new hotness, but there's so many other things out there. And I've had the privilege of gaming with you and experiencing some of the what the hell is this dice and will it ever stop rolling?
Speaking of which, that would be my D60, which is a fantastic heavy motherfucking die made of metal that is not allowed to be rolled on my table. I've got a D100 around here somewhere. You know, D100 is kind of one of those novelty things that gamers collect but then never use. Mm-hmm. Because like you say, it never stops rolling.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. I think the largest die size is D120, if I remember correctly.
No. Is it basically a sphere?
Yeah. It's a sphere. But I think the largest they could ever do is a D120 because of the distribution of the sides of the math or something. Anything mm-hmm. beyond that just wouldn't work.
Because it's just a marble and there are no sides.
Do you remember that news story, I think, was from last year about that truck that bursts a gazillion fucking dice and rolled the world's largest, like, dice pool in history?
Yeah, that truck basically rolled enough dice for 5 rounds of Shadowrun.
Yes.
But only if you were playing a short group and didn't have a decker in it.
Yeah, you get a troll in that group, though, you're fucked.
Sorry, I always played the Joan Rigger. I'm sorry for this, nothing.
This was famously parodied on an episode of Gravity Falls, Dungeons, and More Dungeons, when they had the Infinity Die.
Yeah.
The dice with infinite sides and infinite possibilities.
Yeah, with non-Euclidean math sides, yes. I think. Yeah. Anyway, that's a joke die that probably could never exist. But Disney, no. If you ever make one, let me know. I'll field test it for you.
Disney, if you're looking to sponsor a podcast, we're probably not it.
I don't know. The mouse pays money.
I would take that sweet, sweet Disney money in a fucking heartbeat.
I got student loans to pay off.
They don't even have to send me money. Just fucking send me Mandalorian merch and I'm good.
Oh, man.
So, but what are all the... Starting with the weird dice from Dungeon Crawl Classics, what do we have in the lineup?
Okay, with the weird dice from Dungeon Crawl Classics, it has a 13 die chain, starting with the D3, and then the D4, and then a D5, then the D6, and then a D7, D8, D10, D12, D14, D16, D20, D24, and then D30. And by... If you're listening to this point and you don't quite understand this notation, D number means die size with X number of sides. But there are a shitload of weird ass dice out there numbers on them. I have in this bag, in addition to a separately bagged DCC set, is a novelty set that I got. I think I might have gotten it from a DCC Kickstarter, and it has everything from a D2, an actual D2, not just a coin, but like a weird two-sided die. Everything from a D2 all the way through D24 or 20. No, all the way through D36.
D36.
Yep. Every single side between D17, D19, D21, D23, and so on. If you need a D11, I got one.
The only question I have in regards to this is just why? Why? Like, what's the point of a D11 when a D10 exists?
So years ago, there was this show.
Is it because you can go up to 11 a la Spinal Tap?
So years ago, there was this show that was very popular in Nickelodeon called Invader Zim.
Oh, Invader Zim.
Now, on Invader Zim, there was this episode where Zim managed to find some kind of a hidden battle fortress that was built out of the moon, controlled by the face on the moon. Well, then in order to fight him, Dib had to go to Mars and find a new battle fortress that was hidden under the butt of Mars. And then he activated it, and the two of them flew across space and their battle planets. But remember, at one point in that episode, when he goes and activates the battle station, this hologram comes up and says, we've spent our entire alien civilization. We spent all of our funds and all of our societal wealth creating this battle station out of our planet. And Dib asks, why would you do that? And he goes, because it is cool. That's why I have these dice.
The rule of cool.
Because it is cool.
So there's no point to them other than to have them.
I would like to challenge that assertion.
No, it's not an assertion. It's just a question.
Well,
it's an inquisition, as it were.
Fair enough.
The Inquisition.
Here we go. What a show. I bet you're wishing that we'd go away. But the Inquisition's here and it's here to stay.
Mr. Takamata, what do you say?
Wow.
Oh, God.
So as someone who has dabbled in a little bit of game design and not nearly as much as NPC has, but the ability to go outside that set span of the accepted D4, D6, D8, D12, D20, D10. Yeah, forgot the D10. Is very handy because if you need to have more than one of those even numbered brackets, you end up having to roll like two dice or do a weird re-roll thing. And for some systems and some applications, things like weapons that need to be very much RNG flat across the board, it's very handy to have those dice. The other way to do that is to roll multiple dice, but then you get into this weird set of curves on what the average ends up being, and it doesn't end up being truly random and ends up weighting towards weird ends of the scale.
Interesting.
What a lot of gamers in the DIY, do-it-yourself-focused OSR scene, or the old school revival, they use them for roll tables.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, you got an idea that you've got 14 things on that list. You don't need any more than 14. You don't need any less. You have 14 things on a list. How are you going to roll that? D12? D20, just re-roll if it's a 16 or higher or 15 or higher? Like, so having the weird dice, it's just cool, you know?
Yeah.
Just neat.
Yep. And I mean, now let's go on to beyond the weird numbered dice. The weird shaped dice, because do you remember when there was the big trend in doing like D6s, D8s, et cetera, as cylinders with like pointy ends?
Yeah, rather? I've got a few of those. Yeah.
Now that one was more of like initially just a rule of cool thing where it's like you have this die that occupies a smaller amount of space and, you know, just rolls a lot more flatly. You know, it doesn't bounce as much, et cetera, et cetera. What I liked it for is back in that point when those things were coming out, I was frequently working multiple jobs. I was fitting in gaming where I could, and they took up less space. And I could carry a complete set of dice and just throw it in a small shoulder bag, and it didn't take up any space. They fit in a pencil case along with my pencil and a folded up character sheet.
So a good dice set for your tiny house or for your saddlebags if you're on a long road trip.
Exactly.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
What about those dice that don't got the numbers on them?
Ah, all right.
Well, like symbol dice.
Well, before we get into symbols, I guess these are technically symbols. It would be a shame if I did not mention my least favorite dice of all time, and those are fate dice.
Oh,
I don't like the fate system. But anyway, fate dice are D6s, but instead of numbers. a fate die has two blank sides, two sides that have a minus sign, and two sides that have a plus sign. So whenever you roll, instead of trying to roll high, your dice are more or less hovering around a middle point.
Mm-hmm.
So your roll doesn't represent, succeeding. It simply represents variations to your ability to do something kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That just reminds me of taking a class in college or grad school that was a pass fail, and it would just like really fuck up your GPA. Like, that doesn't sound like it's good for anybody.
I'm just not a fan of fate. I don't like that whole targeted centrist kind of math.
Mm-hmm.
Not a fan.
That sentence made my brain hurt.
Yeah.
Targeted centrist math.
I just made that up. I don't know if that's an actual appellation. I've had a couple of bad dogs at this
never
point.
Never say so. It again because
you're
it
welcome.
Made me phase out of existence.
Have you read Infinite Jest?
Fuck you.
So where does the appeal, do you think, come from NPC for Fate Dice?
People who like the Fate system.
I couldn't tell you because I don't like Fate.
So I've had a chance to play a couple other game systems that used what was originally called the fudge dice before Fate got his grubby little hands on them.
Yeah.
And
I'm actually kind of sad I didn't call them fudge dice because I used to be that guy.
I'm sorry, you were that guy?
I was that guy.
Don't be that guy.
Man, don't be that guy. Nobody likes that guy.
There's better implementations of that idea. The dice in and of themselves aren't that bad. It's how Fate implements them mechanically.
We could talk about Fate for a very long time, so let's save that for another chat and move on.
Mm-hmm. No, the best kind of fudge dice are you make a batch of fudge, and instead of pouring it in a pan, you pour it into those, D20 ice molds, but instead you make fudge dice. And then you have a delicious snack.
You might be onto something there.
Mm.
Yeah. Poppy's fudge dice coming.
I hate this idea.
Coming near you.
Moving beyond dice with mathematical symbols, we have dice with proprietary symbols. I want to give a quick, unfortunate, begrudging shout out to what I think might be the first game to ever do this. It's called Metascape. It is one of the worst, most overproduced RPGs I've ever had the misfortune of reading through. It was funny, but it was only funny for a moment until it was just painful.
Yep.
It wasn't even funny bad. It was just bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, Metascape had a D14 or a D16, I forget, that had its own distribution of numbers around it. And one side was a copyright symbol because the creator claimed that he had copyrighted his works, a die.
Yep.
What?
Anyway, that's Metascape. So no more Metascape. So anyway, dice with funny symbols. My first
show experience, me on the die where Metascape touched you, sir.
My first experience with funky symbol dice was HeroQuest. Because in HeroQuest, you don't roll a die. You don't have numbers on it. You roll to see how many of X symbol you get. And we played that, or we did character creation with Alex Hakobian in his game Broadsword, mm-hmm. basically using the same dice.
Broadsword.
But then, years later, I played Fantasy Flight, did Warhammer 3rd Edition Fantasy Roleplay. Mm-hmm. And they use dice with the sides that you might expect, D6, D8, D10, D12. But they didn't have numbers. They had these proprietary. They had these thematic symbols from the Warhammer world, like the twin-tailed comet of Sigmar or the cross blades of chaos or other stuff like that. And then you rolled the dice pool and they used it almost like casting runes mm-hmm. to interpret what happened. What I like about that system, which they then took and brought forward into Star Wars and Genesis and Legend of the Five Rings, is that instead of rolling to get a number or to get X, a mathematical result, you roll to interpret the action. Like, you divine the moment. And I love that so much, I brought it into OSR in a game that I love called Hammer Crawl.
Mm-hmm.
Have a crown!
My favorite of which is the huzzah dice.
Explain yourself, Poppy.
If somebody says, while we're playing Hammer Crawl, says huzzah, and they're not intentionally saying it to try to get a huzzah dice, like it's an authentic in the moment huzzah, then you get a huzzah dice added, which does...
It's basically the red die from Warhammer. It adds an aggressive approach to action, which can lead to unfortunate setback.
Onward!
Exactly. It's the onward die. So people have opinions on these symbols. I get it. I love them.
So your implementation and the original implementation of those, I find inoffensive and oftentimes add a lot. Where I don't like the symbol dice is how it's implemented in Star Wars. Not West End Games Star Wars, not even D20 Star Wars. We're talking...
I'm being handed a bag of dice right
the
now.
Goddamn Edge of the Rim Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah, Fantasy Flight Star
what
Wars.
What the shit fuck are these NBC?
I don't know. Look at what's the symbol that's on the dice bag itself, and that should give you a pretty good indication of what's about to happen to you.
That's the shocker. Yeah. Anyway, those are Genesis dice, which are inspired by the Star Wars dice.
Yep. Yeah. The problem I have with them is there's too many goddamn symbols on too many faces on some of the dice.
This one has no symbol on it, on one of the sides. Yeah. Two sides.
Yeah, yep. Some of them are blank what on one side.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
In several implementations, too many of the symbols look too close alike.
Okay.
And the thing that is not the dice's fault, but the game's fault, much like Fate, is how they're implemented.
So many arrows. What is actually going on with these dice?
Those are Genesis dice. They're for a Fantasy Flight game called Genesis, which was the generic universal version of the Star Wars system. They are advantages, disadvantages, triumphs, despair, and success and failure kind of stuff.
Okay, so there's like a star symbol, an arrow symbol.
If we target ever do symbol. An extended episode talking about Genesis, I will gladly work through how those work.
So character creation is all I heard.
I want to set a die where whatever sides it has, instead of having a number one or a pip, a one pip or whatever it is, I just want like a big middle finger as the one on the die. That would be, somebody needs to make that, I will buy some.
Yeah, let's get one with a middle finger. We need the shocker. Or what's the die with the rock, paper, scissors, wizard, Spock, or
oh,
whatever.
Oh, yeah, there you go, let's, yeah.
Something like that. Okay, Xander, you have a coin.
I have a very similar coin. It's the Fraternal Order of Bartenders official bad decision-making coin. And it's a spinner coin, so you spin the center, and the only two options are maybe and yes.
Well, in my
those
world,
those are your only two choices.
In my world, if it's not a hell yes, it's a no.
This is the last call for alcohol this evening. Drink up, drink up, drink up, and order again. This is the last call for alcohol, get going. Drink up, drink up, drink up, then order again.
Let's go ahead and wrap this up. This has been a little bit of a, you know, delve into some of the options. I'm sure there are more funky dice options out there.
I have no doubt. I don't like it.
And as we referenced, there's a couple other subjects in here. We talked about, touched on Fate, the Star Wars system, and why it sucks. And
we lost Disney. Thanks.
I wanted that sweet mouse money, you fucking son of a bitch.
It's not Disney's fault that the company that did Star Wars. Fantasy Flight.
Oh, right. Lucasfilm. That was pre-Disney.
Oh, okay. And it's mouse, one. It's if you ever want to hear my rant on why Fantasy Flight is a bad system, a company that should not be allowed to touch games, give us a shout.
Guess what? they're not allowed to touch games anymore. Fantasy Flight no longer does RPGs.
Right, because
Modius all got moved to Edge.
Oh, Edge. Yeah. Yep. I forgot who bought them up.
Show me on the dice bag where Fantasy Flight touched you.
And on that note, you've been listening to Biker's Dice and Bars, recorded here in Portland, Oregon. Portland, Oregon, not Portland, Maine.
Is that a misconception we get?
No, I just felt like saying it.
Okay.
And anyway, we have a Discord, we have Facebook, we have all the fucking social media bullshit. And you should join us online and tell us what you think about this new shorter format. Maybe some stuff from our Redbubble or our merch store. Yeah.
Which you can find at breakfastpuppies.com.
Yep. Or right in the show notes of this episode.
Now, if we were in Portland, Maine, Jessica, we'd be talking like this. We'd be rolling the dice and drinking the brew like this then, Jessica, because you can't get there from here. You got to go to Conifer.
You get a transatlantic accent all of a sudden.
If you're in Portland,
that's
Maine.
Amazing. I've been to Portland, Maine. Didn't hear anybody who sounded like that.
So now that we've had that note from...
Now that we've lost Portland, Maine.
from H.P. Lovecraft's sister. This is Portland, Oregon. This is Biker's Dice and Bars.
I'm NPC.
I'm Just Jacob.
I'm just rolling crits. Oh, Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
And I am Poppy Beaujolais up here.
And as usual,
keep a shiny side up.
Always tip your bartender.
And Xander rolls enough crits for everyone, but you should too.
And please always drink and play responsibly.
Thanks again.
Thanks for joining us, friend. We've reached the end of Biker's Dice and Bars.